I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're live now. There you are. You are live. No intro tonight. No music. I just pressed live. You ain't getting none of that. You're sat in the Angie. What have I done? I've at least given you your name. There you go.
There we go.
Right. What the people do need to know is that I am exiting. I've just done two interviews back to back. I just did Jake Atlas, big fan. Jordan Grace, big fan. And that has unfortunately led me to being late for Wrestling Daily tonight. I appreciate all of you for sticking with us for now. But I have to move out of my decrepit, dark bedroom downstairs into the office.
It is an office. Studio.
But SB3 is going to talk you through the opening exchanges before I return. So without further ado, here is the man himself, the True Hill Heat King, the most handsome, the, I can't even remember what you call yourself on YouTube these days without sounding like terribly racist. What did you say?
I'll take True Hill Feed on for tonight. But yeah,
go ahead.
Go to the studio.
What did you call yourself now? I can't remember what it was.
The ethnic YouTuber extraordinaire. Yes.
No, everyone has to understand. You can't take a gamble on things like that in this day and age. I would have looked. That's just a bad gamble. But
don't be Matt Caster. No, don't.
We'll get into that.
Don't go full Matt Caster on them. But yes, go to the
brother.
Studio, sir. I will greet the people. I am here for you, everyone. Alex is going to be making his travel over to the studio while I welcome you to Wrestling Daily. You hear the kids. They're ready to go. I hope all of you are in the live chat. Of course.
We love SB3! There you go. The crowd are going crazy for him.
Daily boys out in this piece. What a chaotic start. It's like Monday Night Raw back in the day when they just used to start with like a whole brawl at the beginning or like a match straight out the gate without the intro. That's what this edition of Wrestling Daily is like. That was Alex McCarthy. It is me, your True Hill Phenom, SP3. We are live right now. Of course, if you're watching us on YouTube right now, drop us a like. Share this video on all your favorite social media platforms. If you're new to the Wrestling Daily YouTube channel, smash that subscribe button. Hit the bell to stay notified for all the great content that we got here on Wrestling Daily as we keep on marching forward to 15K, where we will have Quizzlemania War Games. And of course, me and Alex are going to chat about the titular news. But of course, if you want to dictate the conversation, if you want to have your hot takes being spoken out here, right over here, wrestletalk.com/wrestlingdaily. We got a lot to get into. NXT last night, a whole bunch of news, a new signing to AEW. Mrs. Ronda Rousey, my favorite, had a certain tweet that got the wrestling world talking. As I said before, Max Caster pissed off a lot of people on AEW Dark 100. So it is a lot going on in the wrestling world. So before Alex comes back and he rejoins us, let's get into the titular news, which is a possibility that WWE SummerSlam may be canceled. It was first reported by Cassidy Haynes of BodySlam.net. He is the reporter who broke the news of Bryan Danielson, going over to AEW. Now he had a latest report this morning talking about WWE anticipating cancellation for SummerSlam and possibly returning to the Performance Center or finding a new place for the Thunderdome. He said in this report, while speaking with sources within WWE, Cassidy Haynes was told that internally, WWE expects that they will have to return to the Performance Center or another venue for their Thunderdome gimmick within a couple of weeks. Additionally, sources slated to Cassidy Haynes that the feeling internally is that SummerSlam can/will be canceled. The feeling is that the company fully expects that they will not be on the road in 4 weeks' time, as there is concern about how they will be able to proceed in a non-contained environment. Currently, the belief within WWE is that they do not expect another round of lockdowns, but are fully anticipating bans or mass gatherings to potentially come down over the next few weeks. This comes off the heels of both WWE and AEW talking about in reports that they are making contingency plans just in case that there is lockdowns for the Delta variant. And of course, my daily boys, brother in the Bubba Ray to my Devon, he is here. He is in his studio. He is in the Busted Open Wrestling Daily Studios, and he is ready to talk about the titular news. I just broke down the report from Cassidy Haynes. Also wanted to note, WrestleVotes also tweeted out about this report. Sources says SummerSlam happening at Alliance Stadium is still the plan, with the event being just 2 weeks out. WWE has had conversations with the city and venue, and as of this very moment, all things remain on track. So it seems like more of a preemptive thing and just talking about different plans just in case the worst case scenario happens. But what's your thoughts on Cassidy Haynes' report about SummerSlam possibly being canceled and maybe a return to the Thunderdome or the PC coming?
Oh, Jesus. First of all, Hector Rodriguez says, there he is. What happened, Alex? So I had two interviews back-to-back with Jake Atlas, then Jordan Grace, and they obviously I don't want to put the heat on Jordan here, but that interview was delayed, which, you know, that 5 minutes really put me out. So when I planned to get down here, it's all very delicate, right? Because in my time, it's like 8 p.m.-ish. The kids are going to bed. So I was upstairs doing the interviews. They're stuck down here. Then we have to switch. It's a complicated procedure that the show had already got underway. So there you have it. SB3 held down the fort like the good brother that he is. But you know what? You know what we didn't give the people, SB3, that we need to give them before I give the news about SummerSlam?
The intro music.
It just wouldn't have been right.
I literally told them this is like one of those Raws back in the day that just went right to the action, like with the whole brawl, and then they went to the intro. This was perfect. That was perfect.
I like to think everyone's forget that I do heroin Uptown Avondale, but apparently not. I've always told you just a bit. You know what I mean? Just a little bit of heroin. I know my amount of heroin, of course. I don't really do heroin for anyone who takes that at face value. Yeah, no cold opens for Wrestling Daily. You're not wrong. And I was just going to play a clip because it was funny, but then I was like, nah, the drop in that is actually the best part. So I need to keep it going.
Give the people what they want.
Well, you want me to give the people what they want? Well,
it is Big E. He's here on Talk Wrestling, home of the Big E push. How are you, Big E? I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Alex. And thank you for being arguably the greatest voice in all of wrestling. I mean, I think
that's all that needs to be said. You don't need to watch the rest of the video. Not my words. That's Mr. Money in the Bag, everybody. No. Do you actually want me to get on with the show? Okay, I will.
What a wild and chaotic start to Monday Night Raw.
What? I promise we will do a show, everybody. If you want to stop us from doing heinous acts like that, please get your Ultra Chats in to the Daily Boys. We would love to have your thoughts. WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. Back to the news. Yes, actually, after however many minutes of my meandering. Yeah, so Cassidy Haynes, by the way, is on a great roll at the moment with BodySlam.net. I know for a fact that he has sources within AEW. I don't think it's even much of a mystery. He went to school with one of the FTR guys. But I think he actually knows people beyond him, of course, probably through him. You know how it goes. I think what he was saying, well, I know what he said about Daniel Bryan is accurate. In terms of the SummerSlam news and the stadium in Las Vegas, yeah, I mean, obviously, like, it's a no-brainer, right? Like, we know what's going on. We know the spikes in America and the variants and all of that stuff. I know that they're obviously desperately trying to get people jabbed over there. As far as I can tell, it's more resistance over there to it than the UK, in terms of those who are choosing to get vaccinated and who aren't, which is obviously is making things a little bit more difficult. SB3, I know you're in the New York area. Of course, it's completely different coast to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But the restrictions are back over there? What's going on?
Yeah, there's more restrictions as far as like gatherings. Like, it's now like kind of the mask mandate, which I think Las Vegas in Alliance Stadium then just passed that down with the SummerSlam event coming up. That if it does happen there, they are going to have, all the fans have to wear masks there. And then a lot of like the live events for New York City, you have to show your vaccination card. Thankfully, I've been vaxxed. I got the one shot, one kill, but I'm vaxxed and ready to go to Arthur Ashe Stadium. I'm trying to see if I can get to MSG as well. But we'll see. We'll see about that. Tickets are not selling well on that, so have I, you, I have a chance.
Have you done if there's going to be media at Arthur Ashe, you could do it for me, could you not?
I am down and free. I get clearance by my wife. She says she doesn't want to go, but she said it's okay if I go. So I am good to go. And I yes, we can make that happen, sir.
I'll reach out after this and see what's what. Because this Friday, is it Friday? I don't even know. I'm getting my days confused. I've got Ricky Starks this week, right? I'll be talking to Ricky Starks at some point. I hope it's Friday now. I've got you know my schedule is hard. But either way, I've got that. So I will speak to the PR person because I am devastated that, of course, I can't be out there for the massive shows of AEW. I was really hoping I would be able to. I was really hoping for SummerSlam. And it just hasn't happened. But in regards to SummerSlam at the stadium, I spoke to a couple of guys today. Like, absolutely is the plan at the moment. They're moving forward of it. It would take, some real stringent government guidelines to prevent that from happening. If it can happen, it is happening, right? Like, there's no two ways about it. I don't know if the WWE, now that they're doing touring and in arenas, would go back voluntarily for sure. That would have to be like a nationwide shutdown again, I think, for any of them to do that. Sorry, Steve H, formerly known as Gatecrasher Forever, is absolutely right. I actually thought that as I was saying it. But you could do a giveaway for your ticket, right?
I haven't bought MSG tickets yet, so we can negotiate. But that's a great comment. SP3, be like, I can do media. You could have told me that before I bought the ticket. Hey, Arthur Ashe Stadium,
I wanted to go.
Arthur Ashe was affordable, so I'm not going to be upset about that. And I think it'll be easy. I think a lot of people want to go to that event, especially if we got Bryan Danielson there. MSG, they just announced that John Cena is going to be there. So there is a lot of big events coming to the New York area, a lot of big events happening in Chicago. So I'm hoping that the Delta variant, you know, cases are rising, but I'm hoping that it doesn't cause a full on shutdown. I don't want that to happen. We just got through, you know, those empty arena and Thunderdome and Daly's Place event. Mm. We need to be in front of fans, and we see across the board ratings are pretty much up with all the different shows now that fans are in attendance. So it is good for wrestling overall to be in front of fans. So we don't need to go backwards. So I'm just hoping that this is just a contingency and a worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think it is that I would put my money down on SummerSlam happening and things keeping moving. I know the UK is not even as big as Texas, so it's not really a fair sample size against the US. But we had a spike with the Delta variant, but we've rode it out, and now it is going down. And primarily the reason behind that is, you know, everything's back to normal here, pretty much. It's just that everyone's getting vaccinated, right? So
yeah.
I don't know what percent of our country is vaccinated now. It's high, though. It's really high. So and the data has kind of shown that as a result, we're okay. There was a spike, but we're on the way down again. Again, don't know how that works out for America. Obviously, what's happening in New York isn't necessarily what's happening in Vegas, and there's a lot of different ways to look at it. But I'm very confident that SummerSlam goes ahead, and it goes ahead at the Las Vegas Stadium. I really would be. I like this comment from Uptown Avondale. The wrestling world needs SB3 and Alex Queen of the Ring together at MSG.
I like that a lot. I like the way Uptown Avondale thinks. He's operates. An elite good egg. He's an elite good egg. His thinking is on point.
Except for he thinks I'm big time and everyone all the time. Listen, I don't make Big E say these things, Uptown.
This is how I stay safe. From now on, I will wear it in honor of him.
Mm. There you go. Yeah, I was going to say upside down, but it's good. You're good, brother. You know what's funny? I was just saying about big leaguing. Jake Atlas today at the start of interview was like, oh, I've seen you on the internet. And I was like, that's a nice way of saying you're on Twitter too much, isn't it? Like that, you tweet too much, mate. I was like, he doesn't follow me either, so you know, that's a glaring indictment right there. But England is basically the size of the West Coast. It's definitely not.
No. I would say maybe Texas with Texas.
We're not,
maybe California. The bigger states combined, probably.
California, I just Googled it, has a population of about just under 40 million. We've got 66. I think in land, it's something like 66. Yeah, it might be different now. That was years ago, probably. I'm sure that Texas, by actual land mass and population, is bigger than the UK. But either way, hopefully September 20th still happens, where the WWE comes over to the UK for the London show, because I have some stuff planned for that. Really hope that happens. But yeah, I don't see any reason why, like, if people are getting vaccinated, then we should be on the up, should be on the uppity. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But I do still think that SummerSlam will be happening at a venue. Almost certain it will be the Las Vegas Stadium. Where we go after that in terms of tour dates, I think it will just be a case of what you've just said, SB3. There'll be some mandates in place, perhaps. You know, maybe you can only collect your tickets if you are vaccinated and you wear a mask. But I do still think that all promotions will be on the road.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's move in another direction for news. Now, Ronda Rousey had something to say last night, didn't she? I looked at Twitter. Oh, it was a storm. I was like, oh my God. It was literally blowing up everywhere. It was one of those things that I already wanted to stop talking about it about 10 minutes after it happened. I said, oh God, everyone is going crazy about this. And it was like completely different opinions. Just to quantify, Ronda Rousey said, I've seen you same fans chanting, we want Wyatt last night, chanting, we want beach balls over Bray Wyatt performing. I think she's referencing Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy at Elimination Chamber. If the WWE treated him like he was expendable, it was because you ungrateful idiots, did it first. Now, let me start this off, SB3, because I know you are Ronda Rousey's chief defender. Regardless of if she has some merits to the point or not, which, again, I'm not saying that fans aren't stupid like that sometimes or whatever. That is a ridiculous blanket statement to make, right? Like, you can't say anyone who missed Bray Wyatt or is sad about his departure, well, it's your fault he's gone. It fucking isn't. That's a ridiculous thing to say when the corporation has been laying off people month after month after month. Is that to say that it's our fault everyone's gone? We could have saved everyone's job? Like, if it's our reactions that cost him his job, then Roman Reigns was fucked years ago, SB3. Don't give me that shit! It made me mad reading that opinion. And I actually understood, right? Let me quantify this. I kind of understood what she was getting at. I just think she said it completely the wrong way. That's my take on it. SB3, I grant you the floor.
We, the people of the United States of Ronda Rousey, are here today to plea in her defense. Ronda Rousey is a woman who is known for having bad takes. I'm just going to say that.
Ronda Rousey, Louis Dangle. It's a club. It's a real club.
It's pretty close. I'm just going to say that. It's pretty close. And I think our good friend Luke Ogan of WrestleTalk put it best on his Twitter, quoting one of the greatest movies of all time, Clerks, when Dante was talking to Randall and he says, I love this job. If it wasn't for the freaking customers, that's Ronda Rousey.
That is Rousey.
She loves professional wrestling, but the fans, not so much. So I'm going to break this down.
Let me just give you this quick interjection. I want you to finish your point. Do you think Rousey is still bitter with fans because she was booed out of Staples Center?
Just a little bit in her hometown of Staples Center. I think she's a little salty about that. She still is. You guys chose Becky Lynch over her. You didn't have to choose. It could have been split down the middle. It didn't have to be that. She didn't even verse Becky on that night, and y'all still booed her out the building. Like, it's ridiculous. But I'm going to break this down like Undisputed. Undisputed acts sometimes, you know, when someone loses a playoff game, it was like, who deserves the percentage for the loss? So who deserves the percentage for the L that is Bray Wyatt? I think it's about 80% WWE. WWE, no doubt in my mind, deserves a high percentage of this. But in my eyes, I think the 15%, the next 15%, I'm going to say 5%, next 15% goes to us fans. Like, I'm sorry. WWE is a very weird, I don't even know the saying for it. It's just very weird. And when they hear boos, they have to put the blame on somebody. Yes, Bray Wyatt came out at WrestleMania 37. He did his whole reincarnation, and we cheered him. We were happy to see The Fiend live once again. But by the end of the matchup, fans were booing. They were not happy. Yes, that is down to what WWE did with the booking of the match, having Alexa Bliss ooze black goo out of her head.
And, unexplainable black
and,
goo,
and
yeah.
Randy Orton beating The Fiend. But in Vince McMahon's eyes, he's like, Bray Wyatt is in the ring and fans are booing. There must be a problem. It's not Randy Orton's fault. It's not my fault.
you can't tell me Vince thinks that.
That's preposterous. I told you. I have one of the best Vince hats in all of wrestling media. I know this man. I know this man. It might be because my wife was her family was a part of management for WWE. Maybe that it transferred over to me. You know, being in the same bed with her. You know, you get the Vince head, and you just think like Vince. And I'm thinking what Vince thought was, it's not my fault. It's not Randy Orton's fault. It's not Alexa Bliss' fault. I still need to make money off of her. This is Bray Wyatt's fault. This is Bray Wyatt's fault. And that is why people are booing. People booed at Hell in a Cell. That wasn't my fault. That was Seth Rollins' fault. That was majorly Seth Rollins' fault. But that was also kind of Bray Wyatt's fault.
You know, by the way, I did an interview with Seth Rollins after that. He holds a grudge about that night. Seth Rollins carries a great deal of bitterness about that night. And not Bray Wyatt. He's like, WWE hung me out to dry. This is Seth Rollins saying that. The most company man ever, by the way. I just think
that fans always stick with people. And for a lot, they did stick with Bray Wyatt. But I feel like they stuck more with Daniel Bryan through bad booking. They stuck more with CM Punk through bad booking. They even stuck through Kofi Kingston, 11 years of Kofi Kingston. And then when he finally got an opportunity, they stuck with him all the way. But after he won the title, too, like WWE didn't do much with him, but they also fans weren't like pleading for WWE to give him more and put him in the main event. Really, they was like, no, we got what we wanted. That was it. So I think that this is an overall statement by Ronda Rousey that fans are fickle, and in any type of genre, fans are fickle. That's just a fact of life. And I'm not saying this as me pointing at all of you guys ungrateful idiots. I'm an ungrateful idiot too. We're all ungrateful idiots. Ronda Rousey's talking about all of us, but I'm okay with that because I am a representative of the United States of Ronda Rousey, and I approve that message.
No, you don't. Not in your heart of hearts, you don't. By that logic, there are so many superstars that Vince would go, it's their goddamn fault. They've got to go. They can't get over. I don't know.
I just think she chose the wrong hill to die on. This was not a good example with Bray Wyatt. There's 100 million. There's been like 40 different superstars who got released that people did not care about until they got released. So she could have done this for any of those. When she did it for Bray Wyatt, that was just the wrong hill to die.
There's a lot of people who liked Bray Wyatt, and more to the point, like he was one of the top merch sellers. So like, if fans are really talking, their pockets is maybe the strongest way they can talk. And The Fiend was one of the biggest merch movers. So how can you say that people weren't behind him or celebrating him? And you know what? I got some people tweeting me yesterday, like part of their argument to support Rousey was, well, you know, he got all of these worst awards with the Observer. Fuck off with that. That's the smallest sample size ever. I do not care if he wins the worst gimmick award from the Observer. So that means that Rousey is right and we didn't appreciate, like, I will not be spoken for. And that's the bottom line. But Rousey is, you know, do I like it when crowds chant, what? No. Do I love it when the Beach Ball stuff happens? Not really. I've been in the crowd when it does happen, you know, after Mania and stuff. Didn't love that either. So therefore, do not blanket statement, right? That's the main problem. She generalized and she was like, all of you, I'm not having that. Like, I was speaking to Louis earlier. You won't be surprised about the terrible take coming up here. And he was like, well, you know, she's right. You know, people were like this when No Way Jose left. I was like, I didn't say No Way Jose deserved more. I didn't sit, you know, no offense to No Way Jose, but I didn't sit there and go, God, that man should have had more. Like, come on, don't just make a point.
People were making fun of Impact when he showed up in the middle of the show. They was like, oh, yeah, y'all said the world was changing and No Way Jose is your big free agency signing. So I don't know who these individuals that wanted more for No Way Jose. Not saying anything wrong with the brother. He, you know, get a check while you can. You know, you do the lines in Impact Wrestling. Get that bag, my dude. But nobody was asking for more for No Way Jose.
Yeah. I'm looking through our DMs now because I can't find. He said No Way Jose and someone else. And like, so again, the blanket statement is like, you know, everyone was like that. I said, I absolutely wasn't. But yeah, that's a good point. There you go. No love for No Way Jose on Wrestle Talk. Couldn't even be on QuizzleMania, damn it. I don't want to drive people away from here, but Becky, Ronda Rousey is actually doing an Instagram live right now. I just got a notification.
Oh boy.
I wonder, I mean, surely there's no rules against me getting this up right now, is there? And seeing what she's saying?
See, she's probably not addressing the comments at all.
No, I don't think she is. 12 minutes ago, gaming for charity continues. She doesn't give a shit.
I feel like Ronda Rousey put out this tweet knowing the type of reaction it was going to get. And she's like, the dude from Community coming in with the pizza and the whole place is on fire. Like, she's like, and then she's sitting there like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. It's all surrounded by fire. And she's totally fine with it. She knew what she was going to, the type of reaction she's going to get. And I'm happy for her. Take out all the angst that you have being pregnant at home and let it out on the ungrateful idiots like myself who chanted, we want beach balls to Bray Wyatt.
Boy, you're trying. Let it out, Ronda. Let us take the burden of your pregnancy on our shoulders, damn it. We'll do it for you, Ronda. Speaking of not good ideas, which I am going to finally say that wasn't a good idea, that tweet. Although, if she got what she wanted, I guess it was. Max Caster. Now, I don't want to repeat word for word what he said in his promo. He's clever enough to not do this. This is what bothers me. Like, even the Julia Hart line at the end, you know, I see a lot of people. I see people going, you know, he's, what is he, 33, I think he is, or 32, and she's 19. He said something to the effect, although he didn't actually say it, but you know.
He did the Cena 2003 gimmick.
Yeah, with these nuts. He was like, what's the smell here in North Carolina? Oh, that's Julia Hart's. But that's it's not remotely close. You know, to me, compared to the other two, that's fine, right? I don't think anyone would be going, oh, you know, that has to go. Some people would have gone, oh, it's distasteful, right? Yeah. But the other two, so Charlotte Flair on Raw had a promo as well where she mentioned Simone Biles. And obviously she struggled with mental health during the Olympics, eventually did compete, overcome those, you know, demons, for want of a better term, and got a bronze. Great, great credit to her. I get it, SB3, that wrestling are like characters. Okay. So technically they could say or do anything within the confines of a wrestling show. Just like, you know, someone kills someone in Game of Thrones and it's okay. This is not that. This is sending the wrong message. Also, wrestling is completely different, in my opinion, to those shows because the characters are so, you know, this whole kayfabery and they kind of live their life as those characters. I think it makes it a bit different. I did not enjoy the reference to Simone Biles at all. Why? If someone's struggling with their mental health, I just feel like it's really thoughtless to then bring more attention to that when they're already struggling with the overbearing sense of the weight on their shoulders, particularly in Simone Biles' case, where it's like the Olympics and the pressure of it clearly got to her. Charlotte Flair's promo was rambling nonsense anyway. Like the link, and she kept going, I'm going somewhere with this, but she didn't. She didn't link the two at all. And if she did, her link was that Simone Biles struggling with mental health was the same as being cashed in.
Yep.
With the money in the bank. That's the relativity. That is. I mean, again, I don't know who approved or wrote that. But that's terrible. It's just not. Oh, my word. Like, there is. That's not how you, to say that those two things are the same or even imply it. That's not Hill Heat. It isn't. It's dreadful. But Max Caster, of course, took it a step further. Again, I won't go into what he said exactly, but he mentioned Simone Biles. And then he also mentioned, I want to say, it was like an old rape case.
The Duke lacrosse team, yeah.
Duke lacrosse team. I mean, again, I think it wasn't actually charged in the end or whatever, but obviously it's still like a very rape. Is that really going to be your topic? Like, man, pick your... You know what I'm saying? Like, just like mental health and rape are probably the two of the first things to avoid in any kind of scenario like that, especially if you're trying to, like, you know, Max Caster is very clever in the way he pops people and stuff sometimes. But I thought this is way, way, way wide of the mark. AEW have had to take it down now. Tony Khan is now taking over Dark. He hadn't seen it until it came out. They had 6 days to edit that out and they didn't. WWE have said nothing. Of course I haven't, about the Charlotte Flair promo. I think in both cases, I thought actually, SP3, your tweet this morning when I woke up summed it up perfectly. Both of them are bad ideas. There is no tribalism involved. They're both objectively bad.
Yeah, and I want to also like elaborate on that tweet. I am not trying to say Max Caster is a bad person. I'm not trying to say Charlotte Flair is a bad person.
People aren't defined by one thing.
By one thing they say. And in professional wrestling, it comes down to where they work. I put majority of the blame for Charlotte Flair's promo on WWE. Whoever wrote the script, whoever allowed it to be aired, who thought it was okay, who thought it was, oh, we're being current, we're being relevant, let's talk about that. No, that had nothing to do with that. That was a way to garner heat, and it was a bad way to go about it. With Max Caster, I am more upset with AEW because they had 6 days to edit that out. Like, I appreciate Tony Khan being accountable and saying that it was terrible and saying that, you know, he's going to be now editing, you know, AEW Dark and AEW Dark Elevation. But it's unacceptable that that was able to go out, that that was on, that you let it air, then you edited it out, and then you still had the original version unlisted. You didn't even put it on private. Like, you could have just, like, totally erased that video, you know. Forget how many views you got on it. Totally take that off, because that's a bad look for the company overall. And in a time where AEW is gaining momentum, where fans are falling back in love with professional wrestling because of what AEW is doing, that is such a bad look. So bad. Like, at this point, with being a WWE fan for as long as I am, I kind of expect things like this to kind of happen sometimes with WWE. I expect better from AEW. So, yeah, I'm probably more upset with AEW, but I'm not upset with Max Caster. I'm not upset with Charlotte Flair, because one thing that you say, you have to use this as a learning experience. This is not okay in 2021, in 1998. I was just watching a 1996 Raw where kids in the crowd were chanting at Goldust the F word. And I'm not talking about the one that rhymes with suck. I'm talking about the worst F word. And
exactly.
It wasn't okay then, and this stuff ain't okay now. So, Jace, we just need this to get away from professional wrestling, because it takes you out of the moment. And the people that are trying to say heels are able to say this stuff because they're heels and they're trying to get heat. Nah, you have to be better than that. There's more creative ways to do that, and that's not the way.
Well, you know, you look at how inspirational some superstars are to some people and the effects they have. It works both ways. And I'm not here to judge anyone at all. You know, it'd be a lot worse if they said it in interviews outside of a TV setting, for instance. Right. I get it that, you know, particularly in Charlotte's case, it would have been written for her. And yeah, you can say, oh, well, she should have done this, or, you know, somebody should have. There's a lot of different people who probably should have said no. But again, she was playing a role on TV, albeit it was just a bad take from all concerned. For Max Caster, I guess the guy writing that, just learn from it. Again, I'm not judging him, and I don't think he's a bad person or anything like that. Yeah, he's probably just trying to do some shockwaves and all of this, you know, great stuff. But it's a misfire and just one you have to learn from. That's all I would say for that. And like you said, the main thing is the companies should learn, particularly AEW, because they've made their stance very clear on stuff like this. So yeah, just that's what I want to take away from it, that, you know, these things aren't to be mocked at. It's particularly, and I'm not trying to put more significance on anything than anything else out of everything that was said, but to me in particular, mental health has come such a long way. Somebody very close to me struggles with it daily. And to see it kind of belittled for what some of people might defend as heat, I think is very, very poor, very poor. So again, let's just hope we all learn and move forward from that. As usual, SB3, we're not sticking to what we said we would. Listen, there's only one way to break up this show. Probably this. I'm Steph Chase. No. I've got to talk about NXT. I want to talk a little bit about Ric Flair because he clarified some things. And we have the debate. My word. Do you want to give us, like, I'll tell you what, the clock now is 44 past. SB3, I'm going to give you until 10-2. If you do it before, then you're very good. To run us through NXT and the high points that we need to note from there. And I'll chime in if I need to.
So I got to start from the last thing I saw to the beginning. I won't go chronologically. But yes, the Love Her or Lose Her match, which wasn't even a stipulation, because Johnny Gargano defeated Dexter Lumis, which meant that he would lose Indy Hartwell, but the show ended with Index finally kissing. It's like that moment when Corey and Topanga finally kissed in season three of Boy Meets World. It was like hearts coming together and kissing, a stalker and the woman he's been stalking, while the mom and dad just stand there confused and upset that their daughter is going off with a creep. And why even have stipulations in NXT?
Let me just jump in here a little bit, right? I understand what you're saying, but also, like, the moment isn't good, right, with the whole kiss at the end and the turnaround if he doesn't lose, right? Like, I understand why they did it, but obviously the stipulation meant nothing. I grant that, but I know why they did it the way they did it.
Yes. I mean, I would just say that's probably the most noteworthy thing on the show. The best thing on the show, though, was, in my opinion, was Dakota Kai's promo explanation on her heel turn from last week, basically telling the story of her connecting Raquel Gonzalez, reminding us where Raquel Gonzalez started when she lost in the Mae Young Classic, and Dakota brought her in. She helped her defeat Tegan Nox, Mia Yim, all these different women, but she finally started making a star of herself, defeating, you know, Rhea Ripley, winning in War Games, and then Io Shirai gave her the title shot instead of Dakota. And she felt like ever since then, with Raquel winning the title, that she had basically forgotten about Dakota and wasn't fighting to get the championship, because all Dakota wanted to do was win the NXT tag team titles. But it just felt like Raquel was only worried about the women's championship, so that's why she turned on her. I would say this is better than 90% of the promo explanations that we get on heel turns. Like, there's different. If you remember, I don't know if anybody remembers, when Dean Ambrose turned on Seth Rollins, it was a great moment. It was some people were upset with it, but it was a great moment. It was visceral, because I wasn't expecting that on the same day that Roman admits he has leukemia, Dean turns on Seth. So some people were upset with it, but no one can deny it was shocking. But we never got an explanation until like 4 weeks later. Like, this is what WWE usually does with heel turns. So to get it the week after and it makes sense, the whole thing, I think this was a great job, and it sets up a big match at TakeOver 36. The prime target for Walter and Dragunov was masterpiece. This is why WWE has the best production in the game. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Roger Strong versus Bobby Fish was a solid matchup, but that's another one where I'm just like, this should feel way more important than it was. This just felt like it was just a random match on NXT, not two of like the biggest faction that you ever had, two guys from it battling. It just didn't have the oomph to it. We had Trey Baxter defeating Joe Gacy to move on in the breakout tournament. Really fun tag team match with LA Knight and Cameron Grimes losing to the Grizzled Young Veterans. Cameron Grimes in his butler suit trying to fight against the odds. LA Knight left him hanging, and then he lost to the Grizzled Young Veterans. And then his papa, Uncle Teddy, came out. Million Dollar DiBiase came out and helped him and told him, this is what I told you. You gotta get your way out of this somehow. So I thought all those were really good stuff. Also, Ridge Holland had his in-ring return. He looked good against Ikemen Jiro. Ikemen Jiro, he's just so charismatic. I love any time he's in the ring. It's just fun. And I would say that Holland, Dunn, and Lorgan kind of make a very formidable stable and kind of fit more than a lot of the other stables on there. And speaking of stables, I'm always talking about Hit Row, because if you didn't know, now you know.
Now you know.
They had the opening matchup with Legado del Fantasma. Good match, lame finish. And I don't know how safe it is during a pandemic for another man to pull out another man's gold teeth, but that's what Santos Escobar did to Isaiah Swerve Scott, but it made it personal. Made it personal. So it seems like they're setting up something for TakeOver 36. I feel like all the pieces are in place for them to have a stat card at TakeOver 36. But to be honest with you, if you missed this episode of NXT, you didn't miss much. You just take this 5 minutes of Wrestling Daily and you're up to date.
Pretty much, yeah. Samoa Joe also made his presence felt, choking out a bunch of security guards, whereas Karrion Kross, for some obscure reason, was on the commentary table.
And he ran away. It's like...
And the imperious Karrion Kross ran away.
And then you can obviously tell the crowd was silenced. They took the volume down of the crowd because you heard just random noise in the background while Karrion Kross was talking. So for all the people that were at the event, like, oh no, they taped two segments for Karrion Kross. No, they taped one and they taped it over because a lot of people were chanting Jeff Hardy. I could tell by the way the crowd sounded when Karrion Kross was talking.
Yeah, exactly. So there was that. Pete Dunne obviously cut the promo saying, we're the baddest three men in NXT. Like, I dare you to prove us wrong, which leads me to believe that there's going to be a future thing with, I don't know, Hit Row, Diamond Mine, those that are obviously in the offing, which are quite exciting. I just want to see Pete Dunne do cool stuff. You didn't mention Io Shirai and Zoe Starks acting masterpiece.
Oh my God, I wanted to forget that, because that was probably, that's a candidate for the worst segment in NXT history. My God. I know the goal was to make us be like, oh, you know, EO and
they're
friends and they're so funny together. They're an odd couple. Look at this. One likes sushi, the other doesn't. One's heard of freaking wasabi sauce and the other has it. Like, and then Zoe Starks had the racist comment of asking the waitress, oh, are you in EO friends? Are you from Japan? Like, she's like, no, I'm from Kansas. I just speak the same language. Like, you idiot. Oh, my God. Zoe Starks came off so unlikable. This was awful. Oh, so awful.
It was not good. I haven't seen one good review of that segment. SB3, we're on the home straight. Just let me touch on Ric Flair before we do the closing debate. Even though the Ronda Rousey thing was kind of a debate, but we got another one. Ric Flair. Yeah, probably. Ric Flair. So Brian Alvarez didn't just allude to it. He basically said that Ric Flair walked because he complained about Charlotte Flair's booking on Wrestling Observer Radio. He was very forthright about that. He said that Ric Flair said to Vince McMahon, do something about it or I'll quit. Vince obviously didn't. And that was the end. Ric Flair doesn't see it like that at all. He has been saying, as was true with his statement yesterday, to be fair, SB3, he said that he would come to a very friendly conclusion and that he just wanted to do other things. In an update with Ric Flair, I think he was on a show yesterday, and I'm just looking for the actual quotes, which are hard to come by for some obscure reason. So he was on a show, and I think it was People or something like that. And he was basically saying that he wanted to pursue other things, like a wine. He wants to do his own line of wine. that he couldn't do with WWE. He wants to do, he wants his own network, which I think is pretty staggering. There was a lot of different things that Rick wanted to do, and he said that was the main reason. He, him and WWE just did not agree on his future, and as a result, he was released. It wasn't, I don't think booking had anything to do with it, if you ask Ric Flair. I don't know if this really adds anything to what we heard the other day, other than just to dispel the notion that Ric Flair, for some obscure reason, at 72, was trying to book WWE, which I always thought was a very long shot. Not sure why that would have done the rounds. I know Fightful said that Ric wasn't happy about the booking, so I can imagine that's a very easy rumor to get hold of, right? Like, or to gather traction. And I don't think he was happy with what he was involved in.
Yeah, he kind of said in a separate interview when he was still with WWE that he didn't like the Lacey Evans.
Who did? Line.
No one did. No one.
So, I mean, I can believe all of that, but I always found it hard to believe that he was going to be ringing up for Charlotte, like as if you can't cash in on Charlotte. What are you doing, Vince? And Vince goes, you can't talk to me like that, Rick. You're fired.
And then Flair's like, you can't fire me. I'm all on fire.
Woo! Yeah, no, I didn't anticipate that happening. So I'm glad that it's cleared up. Obviously, it's from the horse's mouth. Whether you believe Rick or not is up to you, but I certainly find that more palatable than the Charlotte rant that supposedly transpired. SB3, what was our debate today? Isn't it not, that's not the right grammar, is it not, how many stars is too much for AEW? If they pick up Brian, Cole and Punk, is it too much, SB3?
And this comes off the heels of today, Fightful Select reporting that Ruby Soho, or aka Ruby Riott, is the latest person that AEW is about to sign.
Great pickup, let me say.
100% one of the most needed pickups for AEW. When it comes to AEW, the number one gripe, the number one complaint is about their women's division. And, you know, although that they did do improvements before Double or Nothing, probably like between like the beginning of the year to Double or Nothing, the women's division was steadily gaining traction. And then ever since Double or Nothing, it's just been same old stuff. Once again, with one woman segment per show. And that's the only thing that's been lacking with their return to live fans. But getting a talent who is so respected like Ruby Soho, it creates different matches. It gives them a star of some name value to go along with Britt Baker, to go along with Thunder Rosa, go along with Jay Cargill. So this is what they need, and I'm very happy. This is a big pickup for them. But the question is, how much talent is too much for AEW? There you go.
That's Ruby. Go into AE dubs. Yeah, how much is too much is the question. Obviously, Bray Wyatt is also on the free agent market right now. Technically, Braun Strowman. There's a ton of guys that AEW could pick up if they wanted to pick up. And we obviously hear that Brian Punk are basically done, which is still wild. And Adam Cole, we know that his contract, I'd heard this the same day as the Punk news. SB3 will be able to attest that Adam Cole, you know, two weeks ago, I was told that Adam Cole's contract had lapsed at Great American Bash. He had re-upped to put Kyle over, which is obviously the update that I provided the other day. He wants to put Kyle over at 36, but then his contract expires. Tentatively, the plan perhaps was to have him appear at one of the shows after that. There's no non-compete clause for Cole as well, by the way. You add those three to the mix. Now, we've already got just to set my stall here, I'm a proponent where I don't think you can ever have too much talent, right? You look at the Attitude Era with Austin and Rock, and it trickles down from there with Triple H, Undertaker, Mankind, Jericho, Benoit, Guerrero, Angle. Like, they're not all at the top at the same time, but it kind of percolates that way, and the rub helps. You then look at AEW right now. Now, we know what the mountaintop looks like with Jericho and Omega, Moxley. But then, of course, bubbling around that is MJF, is Jungle Allen. Boy, Darby Allin, Hangman Page. Miro is bubbling away there as well. Eddie Kingston is a a decent player as well in that mix. There are a ton of Sammy Guevara is on the rise. There are a ton of guys. If AEW picks up nobody, they would be fine, right? They're going along nicely.
Yes.
But you don't not pick up CM Punk, Adam Cole, and Daniel Bryan. You don't not pick them up if you can. That would be my argument, SP3. There are some talents you make room for, and you make it work to benefit everyone else.
Yeah, I agree with those three. But I think that after that point, if we get to like the Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman, then it's a little much. It's a little too much. Like,
it's a case by case basis, maybe?
Yeah, it's a case by case study because, you know, CM Punk, first time coming back in 7 years, we saw what that did for the United Center on a few days' notice without any confirmation of CM Punk being just at rumor. This event. Just a rumor, just a couple of teases. And they sold out the United Center, one of their highest drawing events of their whole inception, on a couple of days' notice. That's ridiculous, and that tells you to the momentum of AEW and how much their fans believe in them and trust them for their word and trust them for their teases that CM Punk is going to be there. So that's great right there. As far as Daniel Bryan, he's another one because he's just coming off of being in the main event of WrestleMania. So for him to go to AEW, that's huge for them. And that tells to the people like that are going to have their contract expired that they can leave from WWE to AEW. See, even my daughter's excited about
Baby Bryan, 3.
About Bryan Danielson coming to AEW, because that's huge for someone who was just in the main event of WrestleMania. And I made the whole talk that him coming is really telling for the people like that are seeing and are getting upset with what's going on behind the scenes with all the releases, that they have other options, that there's a world of opportunities in 2021 for people to leave WWE and have new opportunities in AEW, in Impact Wrestling, in New Japan. There's plenty of stuff for them to do there. You want to get on the show?
Is it running? Do we have a run-in?
She took my phone, so she took my phone and started running. You want to get on? Yeah, come on.
Hey, yo!
Say hi to the people.
Hey, hey! You little cutie.
Ooh! See, she's gonna help me win this debate. So yeah, so Adam Cole is another one.
Baby 3. There you have it.
Adam Cole is another one because, you know, he saw what happened with Tyler Breeze, and you saw his reaction on his Twitch stream. He was not happy to see that. So him leaving is big because he's on NXT. He might not feel that his whole like what he can do, his potential on the main roster is what it is, but he can go to AEW and he can achieve greater things for comparable money. So he's going to be very telling for other people on the NXT roster who are like a Johnny Gargano or a Tommaso Ciampa that have been there for a while, who really don't seem like they want to go to the main roster. They may decide, hey, maybe AEW is greener pastures.
I mean, you say comparable money. You might even make more money from NXT into AEW. I know main roster money in WWE is like the game changer. But if I'm Adam Cole, I think you would be looking at NXT talent, how they've been used on the main roster, and thinking, is that for me? You know, not to say or disparage any of Adam Cole's talents because he is exceptional. We all know this. But a 5'10" guy, I said something similar to this yesterday, go into the main roster, you're gambling that Vince likes him. You know, there is a precedent set with guys his similar height being successful, but not many. You know, Daniel Bryan's of this world, and Cole certainly has the capabilities to be in that realm. But again, it's not like a given that Vince is going to look at Adam Cole and see what Triple H and the rest of us see. We've seen this. He doesn't have the same outlook as the rest of us. Whereas Britt Baker in AEW, the Elite, they poisoned him to death. But, you know, come on, there's a way back.
That's the thing with that, not to interrupt you, but like they left a money matchup on the table when Adam Cole left to WWE. They never got to do Adam Cole versus Kenny Omega in Ring of Honor or New Japan. So him coming to AEW, that's instantly a money matchup that they have a lot of history and story behind.
especially with the Elite being what they are now on TV, with the Good Brothers and Kenny and, you know, all of that good stuff, and the Bucks and all that good stuff. So I think it plays right into it. It's good timing. If I was Adam Cole, I think that makes sense. I'm obviously not Adam Cole, but just weighing all of those things up, you can see why that would be appealing. It looks like he's out the door. Again, you know, and I know this from just speaking to him in the interviews, the guy is a huge gamer. I know he's on up, down, but like really big gamer. He probably wants to do some projects outside that he can't do in WWE with that as well. I wouldn't bet against that at all. And that's something that he can do in conjunction with AEW. So I think it's all the signs would point to that. And I think that the worrying trend for WWE is that more wrestlers are thinking that way. I think Moxley was the one who kind of set the precedent. You know, you could argue Jericho, but I would say Moxley is the more current top guy who made that first move. And people are realizing, hey, you know, I can make good money. I can be happy. The schedule's friendly. I can do things I'm passionate about outside of. The wrestling landscape these days is basically WWE and everything else. I can sign at AEW, make good money, have that exposure, and still fulfill any dreams that I have. How many guys are thinking the other way around? How many guys in AEW go, man, I want to get to WWE and have that WrestleMania moment? That's not to disparage that, because that's a big thing that people have, you know, signed to WWE for years.
Yeah.
But versus, it's a difficult thing. I don't think WWE's holds as much pull as they used to, especially the way they've treated talent over the past couple of years and these releases. Most people are going to be thinking, is that a gamble I want to take? I don't think it's clear cut as it used to be. I think the tide has turned with AEW when it comes to talent thinking about their futures. And that's a very heavy thing. But with that comes responsibility from AEW, because as you say, you've got to make the right picks. And I think thus far they have. I think Andrade, Malakai Black, and Miro, if I would have picked anyone out of all of the WWE releases, it would have been those. So fair play. I probably wouldn't have picked Shawn Spears. I'm just going to be honest. But other than that...
They let Zack Ryder go. They let Matt Cardona. So I hate the whole talk that...
And Christian. Had. I like Christian. I like Christian's spot. People complain about Christian's spot, but I like it.
I like the Christian more. Yeah, but I just feel like the line has to be cut with someone like Braun Strowman, because he's something that can hurt a lot of people that are on the rise in AEW, in my opinion. Because you got
to don't think he suits it.
He doesn't suit their vibe, and he's gonna hurt people like a Lance Archer, like a Brian Cage, like a Powerhouse Hobbs, like a Wardlow. All these monster heels, monster baby faces that they're building up. Someone like Braun Strowman is gonna negate that.
While we're here, by the way, all the best to Powerhouse Hobbs, who announced that he lost his mother on Twitter today. So all of the thoughts from myself, the Wrestling Daily team, I'm sure I speak for all of you. Good eggs in the chat as well. All the best and all the love to Powerhouse Hobbs and his family during this difficult time. But yeah, for Braun Strowman to tie a bow on that, I feel like he didn't like pursue professional wrestling. He joined WWE. You know what I mean? Massive dude. That is his wrestling business. He was never going to be like a guy who well-traveled on the indies or anything. So I think it's really WWE or bust for him, if I'm honest. I don't see him turning up anywhere else, but I could be wrong. Anyway, thank you so much, guys, for bearing with us with the chaotic start to the show this week. But we got there in the end, and what a great show it was. So thank you very much to the Good Eggs. Let me just say something, right? We have no Ultra Chats this episode. Guys, we want the Good Eggs opinion. So let's get back to that. That's my favorite part of the show, is when you guys get involved with your takes. So when SB3 is back next Wednesday, you know what to do. Let's get those Ultra Chats going. You can become a member of Wrestling Daily. You can have one of those cool logos above your name. And whenever I go on a rant, there you go. Baby 3 is adorable.
Thank you.
You could use one of the emojis at the bottom, maybe the Good Egg one, maybe the Daily Boys, to celebrate on that when it happens. So become a member. There is next to the video is how you can do that.
I think Chris Petru is saying we have 2 Ultra Chats today. I don't know.
What? Maybe I've got the wrong list open. Oh, she's furious with me. I'm sorry. Right. I will get to the Ultra Chats. But either way, keep them coming, guys. I very much love the Ultra Chats. I'm getting them up now. Here they are. So the first one comes from Chuck Cassis. He says, hey, guys, how are your days going? Not bad, Chuck.
We're all good here.
Very excited for AEW tonight and to see it live in Cincinnati. Go on, Chuck. I know Alex can't, but is SB3 going to Dynamite or Rampage? Also, hub y'all have a great day. Wish my mum, Corin, happy birthday. Thanks and love you all. Happy birthday, Corin. Happy birthday. SB3, are you going to any Dynamites or Rampages? I think you answered this earlier.
Yeah, I'm going to the Arthur Ashe Stadium, September 22nd, AEW Dynamite. I've already put in a media application for the Newark show, so we'll see. We'll see about those. I don't know about any Rampages on the East Coast, and I'm not going to go all the way to Chicago. I got friends in Chicago, but I'm not going to go to Chicago, even though I would love to be there for CM Punk's debut. I'll be watching it from home and live tweeting, so check me out.
Of course. Yeah, you see, top right-hand corner. Check the boy out. Crespachu also says, evening, gents. Much love, and he uses the emoji. Daily boys, thank you for the hard work you all do. Thank you very much, CP, my man. Thank you very much for everything you do for this show, like reminding me that we have Ultra Chats. So thank you very much. Thank you very much, guys, for tuning in. I will let you all get over to Love Island. And, of course, AEW Dynamite is on tonight. Best show of the week right now. Don't tell anyone that I said this, but it is the best.
Malachi Black and Cody tonight.
Wow, yeah. If Cody goes over. So we have to wait and see on that one. But anyway, I will be back tomorrow with Steph Chase for the first time in a couple of weeks. I've been busy on Thursdays. We'll be in the place to talk everything AEW. And then it's either Louis or SB or Sean Ross Sapp on Friday. We just don't know which one it is yet. Sean Ross Sapp's big league in us. But until then, guys, thank you very much for joining us right here on Wrestling Daily.